Thursday game week edition of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Happy to be here this time live from One Buck Palace. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com here with Lee DeCamper, the other Joe at JoeBucksFan.com, and of course the custodian of Canton himself, Ira Kaufman. Good to see you, Ira.
You too, Steve. It's game time, my friend.
It absolutely is game time. And before we get started, of course, Ira, we're presented today by Edmore's Cadillac Tampa and Edmore's Cadillac Brandon. Catch the savings at Edmore's Cadillac Tampa and Brandon during their Pass the Savings sales event to celebrate their 70th anniversary. They're driving down the prices and passing the savings to you. That includes you, Ira. So we need you in a new Cadillac. Check it out at edmorescadillacbrandon.com and edmorescadillactampa.com. You'll find their entire lineup of new Cadillacs. Save big on every model. Plus, get free washes with every service appointment. Don't miss the Pass the Savings sales event at Edmore's Cadillac Tampa and Brandon. And I will actually add, Ira, that you know what? In the last 5 years, my family has purchased 3 vehicles from Edmore's. 70 years of quality. And
be due for a discount at this point, Stephen.
Well, I always get fantastic savings, just like everybody will at this current Pass the Savings sales event. But no, seriously, my daughter got her first pre-owned vehicle there this year. And I got one back in 2011, and then my wife's car, and my car actually in 2014. So exciting stuff at Edmore's. All right. But what's even more exciting is football season, which is here.
The Bucks are about to take their new vehicle out, Steve, on the road on Sunday. And Lee, I think we'd all agree here in this room, the excuses are over. The preparation time is over. It's time, Lee, to show that the 2016 Bucks bear no resemblance to the team that Buck fans have been watching for the last few years.
Well, certainly won't be any connection to the Lovie Smith, to use one of your words yesterday, deplorable defense that you use with the one and only Chris Mad Dog Russo.
Yes, I did, and I stand by it.
Yeah, so that will not happen. The defense will be better. As far as excuses, I see where you're going, but Steve and I, we made our season prediction earlier this year. Steve and I just can't quite yet grasp that they're a playoff team. They could be. I mean, with Dallas in a quarterback injury, with Minnesota in a quarterback injury, all of a sudden there's a path as of September 8th, there's a path there that could lead to a playoffs. Will the Bucks be able to take advantage of it? Time will tell. I'm more of a, and I think Steve, I hope I'm not putting words in his mouth, I think they could be a year away yet between making a serious run at the playoffs.
I think you feel they're a draft or two away, Steve.
Well, I'm not sure about the draft, but we predicted an 8-8 season, so that's no surprise. In your last podcast, you predicted 7-9, so it's not like we're on different pages here by any stretch. One thing that's interesting, Ira, and I know how you feel about these Falcons. You're not excited by them.
Not.
They don't get you fired up like Bette Midler might. But I'll say this, Ira. The Falcons. I'll throw a Kaufman kind of nugget at you.
You are the wind beneath my wings, Mr. Isbitz.
And I asked Mike Smith about this today. 8 consecutive home opener victories by Atlanta.
That was a nice nugget by you.
Thank you. It's on JoeBucksFan.com. You can read all about it. 8 consecutive home opener victories. That tells me that Matt Ryan knows how to prepare for opening day and is ready, because his stats in those 8 games, off the charts. And, of course, he's 8-0, and he's the one constant. Like you said, this Bucks defense, which is unveiling itself, coming out of the Cadillac garage, we saw a Lovie Smith defense that handled the Falcons twice last year.
And handled Matt Ryan.
And handled Matt Ryan. So now we're getting rid of that, and we're throwing in Mike Smith bunch. What are you looking at for Sunday?
What I'm looking at, gentlemen, is a statement. Let's make a statement at One Buck Place. And by that I mean win a division game on the road, get the fans excited, don't go 1-3 in September, which is your usual custom. Steve, we've been talking about slow starts in the preseason, you know, in terms of the first quarter. The bigger question and issue is slow starts to the regular season. They're buried before they get out of September. Mm-hmm. And with a team as good as Carolina, and I know you guys think that they're going to take a step back, and they may well, but they're not going to go from 15-1 to 7-9.
No.
That's not going to happen.
Barring a rash of injuries.
Yes. So, okay, they go to 10-6. So I'm not saying the Bucs are going to catch the Panthers, but guys, I'm telling you, I'm looking at the Falcons and I'm looking at the Saints. I'm looking at two teams with no pass rush, no defense. You know, quality quarterbacks, to be sure, but teams that I feel are going nowhere, spinning their wheels. Nobody's picking those teams to do anything. Go out and go 3-1 or 4-0 against those two teams and show, Steve, that lease on the basement, that time is up in the NFC South.
How things have sunk to that level, this level, with Bucs fandom. I mean, at one point, it was Super Bowl or bust. And now it's like, can you get out of the basement? Can you just get out of the basement?
The year they won the Super Bowl, gentlemen, may I point out, that was the first year of divisional realignment. That was the first year of the NFC South.
Did they not lose to New Orleans at home to open the season?
Yes, they did. Yep. John Gruden's first game. Yes, they did.
I'll say this, Ira, because I promised you in the last podcast, we got to keep some continuity. I promised you some picks. I don't think Carolina falls back that far. There's no evidence to think they're going to drop back five games. I see them as a 12 or 13 win team.
They also have a guy named Coney Ealy who emerged in the Super Bowl. That could be another stud.
Young player, young pass rusher. And they've got, they're loaded with talent. And they actually even have a good backup quarterback if they lose Cam Newton, a guy who made a Pro Bowl, who clobbered Lovey Smith's defense.
They'll miss Josh Norman a little, guys. They will.
Sure, their secondary isn't exactly stout, but that's the only quote-unquote weakness they have.
When I look at these teams in the division, I try to put myself in the other fans' shoes. And if I'm a Carolina fan and a follower and have a reasonable sense of reality, I see Kelvin Benjamin coming back. I see my quarterback just emerged as the best player in the NFL. And he's in his prime. I'm not thinking anything less than 12 or 13 wins.
You certainly aren't expecting to lose to the Bucs.
Absolutely not.
I don't disagree with that, Steve.
But I do think, and I hate to say it, I think that the Bucs lose on Sunday. I hate to say it. I don't want to see it. I'm not hoping for it, but I think that they lose this game Sunday. I think it's an awfully big task to ask them to be completely ready, new regime, on the road, break an 8-year streak by the Falcons. And the Falcons are a good team. We can say whatever they want. They were 8-8 with first year head coach. They were adjusting too. They had a lot to do. I think it's a tough spot for the Bucs, but I still think they go 3-3 in the division over the course of the year, even though they lose this game. And I still stick to the 8-8 Saints.
Now, Steve, with Arizona, Seattle, and Denver on the horizon, other than the Rams home opener, are you now resigned to a 1-4 start for the Buccaneers?
No, of
Is
course
that what
not.
You're telling me?
No, of course not. Of
okay.
course not.
Okay.
Of course not. Of course not. We've got what? The bye is week 6, Lee, I believe.
I believe so. That's right.
So 1-4 start? No. I think that they have to find a way to go 2-3, but you know what? If they do start 1-4, I still think it'll be a competitive 1-4 if there is such a thing.
Yeah, it won't be like last year where they're getting drubbed by the dregs of quarterbacks.
And I think it's something that they could snap out of. And obviously after that, the schedule gets a lot easier. So at 1-4, I can still see the Bucs at 7-8, coming into the last week of the season. So
the only point I'm going to agree with Isbitz today, because I'm in an ornery mood, Lee, is on Peachtree Street right now, as they're sipping their latte, they're saying, we can't lose to the Bucs on Sunday. Bucs are nothing.
Every team is
saying
that.
So I understand that, Steve, from that perspective. I don't agree with you that the Falcons are a good football team.
The only team I can think of that is looking at their schedule and say we can't lose to the Bucs is Jeff Fisher. And he probably thinks he could beat the Bucs.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
So I don't think outside of the Rams, there's no team on the no team that
Bucs haven't proven a thing.
No, there's no team that the Bucs that have the Bucs on the roster, with the possible exception of the Rams, no team is saying, that's going to be a tough game.
I know you don't like it, Ira. I see no evidence that the Falcons are worse, so I peg them at 8-8, maybe 9-7.
Oh, not worse.
New Orleans are, I think they're more 6-10, 7-9. I think Sean Payton is such a strong coach, and the quarterback is strong, that combination usually is going to be enough to get you 7 wins.
I don't disagree.
Sure. I see the Bucs in third place.
I think the real Falcons, Lee, are the team that went 3-8 after the 5-0 start. That's my belief.
Well, don't the Falcons have some injuries on defense? You know, their first round pick last year, I think, is out again.
I believe they're starting two rookie linebackers, Stephen, or they're thinking about it.
Yeah, their rookie safety, isn't he out?
Yes, he is.
He's going to Hawk Goldson's going to be in there, yes, and they've got a third round pick that they really like. At safety, I mean, they're just not a good defense.
And I'll just go ahead, and people didn't read the story I wrote the other day, earlier this week, Donovan Smith, where he's like, I'm not really paying a whole lot of attention to Dwight Freeney. And his rationale at the time, I understood. He said, I'm more worried about me. If I can take care of me, you know, everything will fall into place. And that's understandable. It's logical. But last night, you know, after I wrote the story, after I published the story, I was doing a little bit of research. Now, we all know NFL coaches love to play games with the depth chart. Well, on Atlanta's depth chart, they have Dwight Freeney as a third teamer backing up the one and only Adrian Claiborne.
That's right.
So if that is actually accurate, that doesn't say a whole lot for Dwight Freeney.
Steve, let's talk about the game within the game. And by that, I mean for Buck fans that are very concerned about number 11, I believe, is Julio Jones, arguably, along with Antonio Brown, the premier wide receiver in the NFL, and I don't question that. But, gentlemen, I'm going to make this statement right now. You know how you stop Julio Jones, Mr. Isbitz? You put Matt Ryan on his keister.
Of course.
That's how you stop Julio Jones. The game within the game is what appears to be on paper the best defensive front this team has had in a long time in terms of depth and maneuverability, and a couple of coaches who know how to use these guys. We'll see how they fare against a mediocre offensive line and a quarterback who doesn't scare anybody with his mobility.
And I'm not
That's the key to this game, Stephen.
And I'm not so sure that Atlanta's offensive line is that bad. I think Jake Matthews is very good. I really do. Pro Bowl, I don't know, but he's solid. So, a lot of people, I've heard other people say, you know, the Falcons' offensive line is the dregs of society. I don't agree with that because you got Alex Mack. I can't think of the guy's name.
They upgraded at center with Alex Mack.
Right guard. You got a veteran guy who's been there for, 33 years old. It's not like, you know, some pup from Western Illinois or something. And then, of course, like I said, Matthew. So I don't think their offensive line is that bad. But what you said about the defensive line with the Bucs, this could be the best line they've had since, 2003, 2004?
Well, it's a long, long time.
Yeah.
Well, I agree with you, Ira, with the pressure. Okay, you can't argue with that. You could, there's no possible way to put a hole in that argument. They need pressure. Matt Ryan's thrown a bunch of red zone picks the last couple of years. That's been his bugaboo, and pressure makes that happen. Like the Bucs, the Falcons had a top 10 offense last year, but they couldn't score points. Same kind of thing. Execution in the red zone. But I look at it, you're talking game within the game. Doug Martin. We haven't seen him in the preseason because there was no need to. And can this Bucs team run the damn ball like they hope to, like they expect to, with two great backs and an offensive line that did it last year against a Falcons front that is nothing special? And I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt there. I think the running game will be everything for the Bucs in a lot of ways in this game to set the tone, get the crowd out of it. And
what they put on film last year, Steve, was very good
in
that regard. Are you questioning whether they're going to take a step backwards? Are you worried about Martin's motivation?
No.
Post-contract?
Not in week one. Not in week one. Maybe, guys get banged up and their motivation later in the season after they've gotten their money. It's a different story. But I think they're ready to fire in this running game. Everybody's healthy. We don't have Sweezy, but we didn't expect to have Sweezy. And Marpet isn't one in a boot. He's looking pretty good. I think the running game, Lee, you got a game within the game here for Ira that he can blow a hole in?
Two words. Devontae Freeman. We're overlooking Devontae Freeman. You're talking about game within a game. Matt Ryan put him on his keister, so you take out Julio Jones. Well, on the Falcons' point of view, you start the running game up, you're going to start bringing the guys inside. They're going to start playing up to stop Devontae Freeman. All of a sudden, boom, there's Jones wide open.
Freeman's also a threat out of the backfield, Steve. He's a good receiver out of the backfield. I believe he scored a touchdown catching the ball at the Georgia Dome last year. We saw in the preseason, guys, when a guy snuck out of the backfield, I believe it was the Jaguars guy. Nobody picked him up, Steve. That was a breakdown. Levante was out of position.
The former Alabama running back. I can't think of his name.
We got to keep a handle on that, Steve. The coordination, the communication, has to be good. I'm not knocking Freeman. He's a quality back. He's not Adrian Peterson. I don't think he's as good as Doug Martin. Who is? But, Steve, the D-line has to make a statement. They brought in this defensive line coach, Lee, because he's adept at mixing and matching. He did it very successfully in Cincinnati. Mike Smith said it again today, Lee. You got to put these guys on a rotation. It wears you down when you pass rush, when you go after guys. It especially wears you down when you're not successful and you don't get there. So that's what I'm really going to be looking at on Sunday is that rotation, Howard Jones, Jacquees Smith, Spence McDonald next to McCoy. And by the way, Steve, and you haven't mentioned this, but Gerald McCoy enters this game as healthy as he's going to be all season. And I'd like that to be a factor in this game.
I agree with you, but couldn't you see that for everybody on the defensive line?
But McCoy in particular, because he played hurt for most of last year.
True, but I mean, you know, most you pick a team, a starter on the defensive line, whether he's an all-pro or whether he's a scrub. Aren't these guys dinged up during the season? I'm not making excuses for McCoy. I'm not knocking McCoy. I'm just, I don't know. I don't necessarily agree with that premise because that's such, I mean, everybody's playing hurt during the season. So, I mean, sure,
but
it helps.
But McCoy's the engine.
McCoy is the engine. But
McCoy's the engine of this defensive
line. He missed, what, one game?
Missed one game.
Yeah, so, I mean, guys are – I understand where you're coming. He is the engine, but I bet you every you talk to him, pick a year, and I bet he said he had nicks and bruises and he was – you know, it was awful to play with, but he got through it. So
I was going to say, I get what you're saying, Ira, that this is – what Lee is saying is on the money, but this is the best we'll see of him. So if we're going to see the best of him that healthy – and
I see where you're coming from now. Okay.
As dominant as he's supposed to be, then this is the game.
He should be dominant.
Well, we should see that show up.
And let me give you the converse of this whole argument, Steve. And I hope this doesn't happen on Sunday. But should the Atlanta front handle the Bucs' defensive pressure? Should that happen? I don't have a lot of faith right now in Werner and Jude. And even a rookie as talented as Hargraves is, about those guys keeping a handle on Julio Jones if Matt Ryan's got 4 seconds to find them,
well,
Steve.
The guy caught 430 passes last year. Nobody can cover him. So let's just kind of wipe that out. Our one guy who covered him, Sterling Moore, you know, he got launched and is bouncing around the league.
He was a wild man in the first half of the game against the Bucs last year at the Georgia Dome.
Yep.
I think he caught 9 balls.
That's why he is the stud he is.
Yeah, I mean, a superstar. I'm not worried. I mean, you expect him to have a superstar kind of day. And that goes back to the pass.
Well, here's
rush. The
Bucs' secret weapon. 2 years ago, not under Loveum, when Del Rivas got dinged up playing at Detroit, who had the cover? Calvin Johnson. Rookie Jonathan Banks. He fared well. I think he got a pick.
Last question.
It's always a good podcast, Steve, when Jonathan Banks' name is even mentioned.
There you go. And last question, Ira, for the podcast, and which ties directly to the game, of course, because that's what we're talking about. The mentality of the Bucs. Now, you talked about making a statement. You opened the podcast with talking about making a statement. We know that the mentality of this team is shaken. It's a shaken mentality. They've been beaten up like no team has in a long time. Multiple coaches. Last year, we remember Lavonte David said his famous quote that the team mentally broke down after the opening snap, which was major right and a personal foul against the Titans. Now that
was a stunning admission. Stunning
admission. Almost as bad as the Bucs hiring a offensive coordinator who couldn't call plays back in 2009,
or worse. Running off a Hall of Fame cornerback for no good reason.
Exactly. Yeah, that's...
Which I just want to beat my head up against the wall.
That's in the Hall of Fame.
Or having Marcus Arroyo call your place. There's many to choose from. Absolutely.
But the mentality of this team...
You're saying it's fragile.
Well, what I'm saying is, do you think Jameis has enough juice as the boss of this team to get the team over any mental hurdles that he couldn't do last year?
Yes, I do. And I'm writing about Jameis on Joe Bucs Fan, and
I hope so.
And the crux of the column, gentlemen, is instead of going through a sophomore slump, a la Cam Newton, by the way, who did go through a sophomore slump, I don't see it for number three, Steve. If anything, he looks even more focused. And You can't fake that kind of passion. And I was talking to some of the guys in the locker room. DeMar Dotson was telling me the other day. He pulled up at 6:15. Winston's car has been there, you know, 15, 20 minutes already. It's pitch dark. That happens day after day. So what I'm saying is he has won over the Vincent Jacksons of this team that has seen it all. That's not easy. Mm-hmm. If you're fake, Vincent Jackson will see through you in about a minute and a half. But he's all in on Jameis Winston. So are Buck fans. And, Steve, I think the three of us have to look at each other and say one thing. He hasn't done one thing wrong since he got to Tampa.
Not to my knowledge.
And you got to give him credit for that, Steve.
Just to reinforce what you're saying, are you suggesting that Jameis Winston is not mentally fragile like Lovey's defenders are?
Well, or? Steve's point's well taken. They don't have any success to bank on. You know, even Gerald McCoy and Dotson's the longest tenured Buck guys, 2009.
Yeah.
Steve, never been in a playoff game. Gerald McCoy never been in a playoff game. They don't have the positive reinforcement when things go wrong. So mental fragility, I'm on board with that. I think that's fair. That's why I think early confidence is important.
But you think Winston has enough juice to overcome that. So that's an important point. We're going to see how that plays out.
I'm going to reinforce one of your points you made in a previous JoeBucksFan.com column where you defended McCoy. We also, Steve and I, have defended McCoy. And what drives me wild is there's a cluster of Bucks fans that despise McCoy. And they, oh, he's a loser, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, wait, hold up. At least he was on a team that won 10 games. Missed the playoffs by a fluke. He was on a team that won 10 games. Lavonnie David and Doug Martin have never experienced a winning season. Why are those guys getting a pass? You guys shooting McCoy because allegedly he's a loser. Give me a break.
Because this is his alleged temperament that they always pick on. Steve, they want a nasty guy. They want the next sap when, in fact, Leroy Selman, arguably the greatest Buck of all, would reach down and pick up the next guy. But when the snap came, he would bury the quarterback.
Well, Reggie White used to bless quarterbacks. Yeah. I mean, come on.
You're looking to pick on McCoy at that stage.
It's all about winning. It's all that really matters. Just like when you want to win, you go to Edmore's Cadillac Tampa and Edmore's Cadillac Brandon, proud sponsors of the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Ira, you'll be back, of course, with your next podcast on Tuesday, post-game.
Steve, at that time, we're going to know a little bit more about the Bucks.
We're going to know a hell of a lot about the Bucks. All right, thanks, Ira.
Got it, buddy.